You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 948. In this show, we're going to be discussing analytics, why they are important, how can you get really good analytics from your WordPress website from 2025, and also the business of WordPress. We've got a great WordPress entrepreneur with us. We've got Derek Asher, founder of Conversion Bridge, which is a great way of getting great analytics for you or your clients. So, Derek, do you think you just can give us a quick, like, 10, 20 second intro, and then when we go into the main part of the show, we can delve how you got into the world of WordPress in a bit more detail?
Just about myself.
Yeah, just give us a quick 10, 20 second intro.
Yeah, I've been in WordPress since probably about 2007, 2008. I started building sites for clients around that time, started my own freelance agency, doing my own thing. And then over time, I've kind of grown tired of doing client stuff. So I really wanted to dive in and solve problems in making products. I really love development. And so I'm in that current transition of, like many WordPress plugin companies, that started as a freelance agency business and then moving into products. And I'm really enjoying this transition.
That's fantastic. I could say we're going to have a great discussion about analytics and WordPress and the business of building a commercial plugin. We will be back in a few moments.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
Welcome back, folks. Just want to point out we've got a great resource. We've got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show, plus a great list of the best WordPress plugins and services aimed at the WordPress professional or power user. You can get all these free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. Sorry to disappoint. No, it's fantastic, actually. You've got an extensive list, so it just saves you from trawling the internet trying to find the right plugin for your client. So, Derek, as you said in your info, so about how you got into WordPress, but let's delve into a little bit more detail. So how did you get involved in web development generally? What was the steps that led? And then was it directly into WordPress, or did you try a few other technologies until WordPress came on your radar?
Oh, I started way back when I was in college in 1999, 2000, and a job that I had working at a night school where I just basically had to man the desk and refill the coffee. So I sat there from like 4 to 10 p.m. I had 6 hours to kill every night because there wasn't anything really to do. So my first website that I ever made was a fan site for a band that I really liked. And I hand-coded that in GeoCities with, you know, hand-coded HTML and all that kind of stuff. So that was long time ago. But over time, kind of got into doing things for friends and family. They were like, hey, you made a website. Can you make one for my small business? So I did that for a friend, family friend, and then just decided, all right, I guess I can do this. And out of college, got a job working at a company where I was making sites for their clients. And then quickly somehow got ranked number one if you search San Diego web design. And then my freelance career took off. So, and then once I started doing stuff for clients, that's when I was wanting to find more solutions where they could manage their own content. And that's when I stumbled across, I tried to make the beginnings of something like WordPress. It was a mini little blog tool. It was called Ash News. It was just a flat file system for clients to be able to add like a blog or news articles to their site without having to contact me all the time. And then that just wasn't great. And then some clients were wanting some more things. So that's when I finally ran into WordPress around that time. And then was like, well, yeah, this is a no-brainer. This is all done for me. So then I started building sites with WordPress from there on.
All right. So you've been running your own small boutique agency for how many years now then?
And 2007. So 17, right. I think 17 years now. Yeah.
Right. And do you just work mostly on your own, or do you have a small team that works?
No, it's everything that I do is just myself.
Wow. Wow. So do you just mostly work direct with clients, or is it a mixture of subcontracting and working direct with clients?
Right. For the most part, it's me working directly with my clients. I did build some great partnerships where I'm their a branding agency, senior WordPress developer, as part of their staff and stuff, but really it's just subcontract whenever they need someone to come in and build a site. And I've had a great relationship with them for about 8 or 9 years. But those are the main ways I've done it.
All right. So, Conversion Bridge, what does it solve? Why did you decide to build it? And it's a bit of a jump, isn't it, from actually doing work for clients and actually building a commercial plugin, isn't it? You know, obviously there's a lot of linkage, but also it's a bit like sailing on a very large lake and then you decide that you're going to go on the sea, isn't it? That's my metaphor. I don't know if you agree with that. So maybe give us an idea of what Conversion Bridge does and why you built it and what, you know, would you agree with the statement I've just outlined?
I will say, yeah, it is. When I kind of describe to some of my friends and family what I'm doing, they kind of just say it as like, oh, it seems like you're just doing the same thing, just a little bit different. And I'm like, no, it's pretty wildly different, which is good. Because like I said, after, you know, I've been building sites for other people for over 20 years now, and it's something I'm incredibly burnt out on, to put it concisely. So I really enjoy doing the product stuff, but it comes with a lot of different challenges and unique aspects where if you're building a site for a client and I work for 3 hours, I can directly correlate the income that I've made for those 3 hours, whether it's hourly billing or I know it's going towards a completed project. You build a product, you could spend 30 hours and get $0 for it. There's no guarantee that the work you're going to do is going to yield anything. So it's a very different ballgame as far as, you know, different types of businesses that they are.
I think I've got to clarify one thing. Are you one of these genius types that can actually develop the design and the actual look of the website and then code it up? Or are you just, I'm not trying to be funny here, but you just do the coding and WordPress and maybe custom plugins, or do you do the whole thing, or do you work with a designer?
No, like I said, everything I do is 100% me. So I'm doing everything from the blank canvas and the design software all the way to the final, you know, wow, custom coding and development of everything for the clients, and also for my plugins and all the marketing materials and all that stuff. So it really is just me all by myself doing all the things. So it's it can be pretty chaotic at times, but I can't imagine doing it in another way.
Well, that's a lot. That is a lot of work. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
So So let's get on to Conversion Bridge.
Yes.
So what problem did you see in the market, and how do you think Conversion Bridge helps with this problem that you observed?
Yeah. So one of the main reasons I wanted to create Conversion Bridge was I started it almost for myself, because I wanted to use one of the newer modern privacy focused analytics platforms. I wasn't sure which one yet, but I know I wanted to do that. Because I did actually have some other plugins that I was selling, before I made Conversion Bridge. And so I wanted to move to a different privacy analytics platform, but also maintain my conversion tracking. And if you go out there, if you go into the WordPress ecosystem and you go, say you get, you know, there's a WooCommerce Google Analytics, plugin. There's a GiveWP Google Analytics plugin. There's Easy Digital Downloads Google Analytics plugin. So for every platform, you had to go and buy or get their specific Google Analytics conversion tracking one. And it was only available for Google Analytics. As someone who built site for clients, that's just the idea of constantly buying these plugins over and over and over again always frustrated me about the entire WordPress ecosystem. These little niche little things that does Google Analytics for GiveWP for this one client, it's going to cost me another $40 or whatever it was at the time. You know, stuff like that. It just always felt a little nickel and dimey to me. So in order to move to a different analytics platform, there wasn't anything available at all. So I was going to have to either custom code it for myself, or as I was getting to that point where I want to actually, you know, come up with ideas for products, I realized this is an opportunity. There wasn't, you know, conversion tracking for Plausible, Fathom, Persh. There's Conversion Bridge integrates with 10 plus different analytics platforms right now. So I was like, why not? That was an opportunity to do that. And then what I loved about it is that if I were going back 10 years and doing stuff for clients, I could just use Conversion Bridge for all my client sites, regardless of which analytics platform they're using or which plugins that they're using on their website, because it adds conversion tracking for WooCommerce, Easy Digital Downloads, Gravity Forms, WS Form. For every popular form plugin you can think of, there's GiveWP. All of that is encompassed in one single plugin to solve all your conversion tracking needs. It also does it with Google Ads, with Meta Ads for Facebook Ads, TikTok Ads even, does Pinterest Ads at the moment. So literally one plugin that you can go to over and over and over again for every single website that you build for clients. And you know it's going to solve every problem that you need around analytics. And there's no more nickel and diming for every single project.
Right, you know, the way I kind of rationalized it, and I don't know if you're going to agree with this or like this, is that I saw what you were attempting with this, similar to the way WP Fusion deals with marketing optimization.
Yeah.
So it seemed two very different products, but the philosophy seemed to have a lot of similarity. And Jack, I've known Jack for a number of years, and he's a great developer and a really great guy, really. So would you agree? Did what WP Fusion have done, was that on your radar, in your mind, as a reason to do this, or?
It wasn't a reason, but it was definitely, as I was building it, I made the same connection. That it is one plugin to solve a lot of integrations in one spot, so you don't have to keep going all these different places to solve it. It's a many-to-many plugin, not a one-to-one plugin. I'm very well with Jack as well, and I even was looking at his website for inspiration for how he marketed things and how he approached to presenting integrations and talked about them and stuff like that. So yeah, there definitely is some similarities where Jack works with CRMs and Conversion Bridge is focused on analytics.
I've got a soft spot for Jack because he helped me out on early days on a couple of projects that I should have never taken on. With crazy clients that had fantastic ideas, a limited budget, and well, they're just never ending. And he had to come and save me for a price, though. But he did save me. I mean, you didn't have to do it, really. You still did me a favour. So, Google Analytics, you know, it's the big gorilla. They, you know, it's probably over a year now they had their update. I think, it, like a lot of Google stuff, it's got more complicated, more frustrating, and it's the data that it supplies seems to diminish with every new version. First of all, would you agree with that? And has that led to people looking more at these other third-party platforms? And if that's the case, what are some of the leading ones in this area that are trying to compete to some extent with Google Analytics? Giving you a 3-point question there, but that's what I normally do. That's what I normally do, Derek.
Yeah. Google Analytics with the latest version, Google Analytics 4, in my opinion, I think it's pretty general consensus. We can all agree that the UX, the UI for the whole thing just went to hell in a handbasket. It's atrocious. What I used to love about the UA, the Universal Analytics, the previous version of it, was I could set it up for clients, have them create their analytics account, then they add me to it. And then once I had it all set up, I could say, just log in and you can see all your stuff. Not once did I ever have a client ask me, what do I do here? I don't understand. They could walk in and just look at it, and it all made sense for the most part. And that was great about, I love that because it made my job easy. I didn't have to really sit for an hour and walk through Google Analytics. Now with GA4, there's like week-long courses on how to just use the basic fundamentals of Google Analytics. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's way over the head of most of our clients. They're not going to want to be able to figure it out. There are ways around it using like Looker Studio or something like that to set up simple to digest dashboards for them and things like that. But it's just another step. It's a layer on top of a layer on top of a layer just to get something that a client can use. So I do think it's gotten worse in that regard for the typical site owner and more, I don't want to say, but more standard marketing managers or people who are doing marketing for their clients. It's just so overly complex at this point. I don't think it's necessarily reduced the amount of information that it's collecting. It's still collecting some good information. In fact, I think it does a better job of, like, I can send in product data, and it already has predefined ways of sending in product data so that you can then use that and get reports based on that.
Oh, right. So
there's still ways it can do that.
Would you say then on the e-commerce side, the actual information has got better?
I don't think it's gotten better. I think it's still the same. What I'm saying is that it hasn't gotten worse, data that it collects. It's just the experience from a user point of view to find that and use that is so much harder, which when it becomes harder, what usually happens is people just don't use it. So they'll put on Google Analytics, it'll collect the data, and then they do nothing with it because once they first log into Google Analytics, they go, what the heck am I looking at? And then they immediately close the window and walk away because they don't want to spend a week trying to learn how to use it. Now, people who are professional marketers who are in there literally day in and day out because their only job is like a Google AdWords manager, you know, that's like what they do day in and day out. They kind of, you know, they figure it out over time. And so for them, it becomes something that they can learn and deal with. It's not ideal for them from what I hear and what I've heard other people say who even use it daily. It's still a frustrating tool. But it does the job. It's definitely one of those things where it's like, clearly developers built this tool and there was no one involved. My wife, who is a front end UX UI designer. So I hear a lot about, you know, how to make good quality UI and UX stuff. It's clearly that only the developers have touched this. There's not been a UI UX person who has touched this GA4 product in any meaningful way.
Sure. It's just crazy, isn't it? Yeah. It's really, you must really wonder what goes on in Google.
Yeah.
It's really, mustn't you? How it's run. it's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
My guess is they kind of had to rush it out the door to meet all the privacy laws, and it wasn't really a full-fledged product, and now they're trying to back into it over the next several years. But it's Google, so it's going to take a while. It's being used on, you know, however many sites, so they can't make sure they don't break stuff, so they're taking time to do it.
That's similar to Gutenberg, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think you mentioned also some of the other options that are out there.
There were some leading ones.
I'd say some of the more known ones are ones called Plausible and Fathom. Those were some of the first ones to kind of get into the market as Google Analytics alternatives. So I think they were just one of the first ones. I don't necessarily think they're the best ones, but they are definitely, I think they do a great job. I don't have any problems with them. There's other ones called User Maven, which I think is another top.
Well, you have the name, don't you?
Yeah.
User Maven.
Yeah.
Maven. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's a great one. Another one that's much smaller out of Germany is called Pirsch, P-I-R-S-C-H. And that's actually one of my favorite ones. I think he's doing a great job. It's just, you know, one guy doing his thing. And I think it's a great solution. But like I said, ConversionBridge integrates with 10 different analytics platforms. So each one with their different pros and cons of what works better, which unique features that they have. But
so most of the people that listen to this podcast are WordPress professionals, freelancers, agency plugin, or power users. Of the few that you've mentioned, what's one or two that, if a friend was asking you, you would recommend? And what are the strengths and weaknesses of the one or two that you would recommend?
I would always, for a landscaper site or, you know, the type of client sites, you know, those smaller small business websites that most agencies are building, I would say Pirsch first and foremost. One of the reasons why is we've gotten used to free analytics from Google for 20 years or something at this point. So the hard thing is it's a hard pill to swallow to now suddenly have to pay for analytics, because it was just something that was free for so long. And all these alternative options are paid options. They may have trials, or there's a couple that have, you know, low free tiers. But, any decent site will probably jump over those free tiers fairly quickly each month. So it's a challenge. Pirsch is one of the more affordable ones that gives, you can get, you know, a landscaper site, for example, could probably get all the traffic they need for $6 or $7 a month, I think, if I'm recalling it correctly. So it's definitely, you know, a little bit more affordable. I don't remember the price off the top of my head. I think Plausible and Fathom are more in the like $15, $20, $25 range. In the WordPress space, like I said, when everything's kind of nickel and diming, it feels like at times we're buying plugins for this, buying plugins for that, and then also now having to pay for analytics, which previously was free. Cost can be a factor. And so Pirsch handles all the features that a SMB, small medium business would ever need.
You don't get nickel and dimed at W if you host with WP Tonic, because you get all the plugins included. But on the other hand, yeah, I think the nickel and dime, and you've mentioned that, it's a bit off topic, but you've mentioned that three times now. But I think with a lot of users, with decent hosting, with a decent page builder, I would not recommend anybody to go Gutenberg native, but using something like Cadence, WP, or GeneratePress. Or if you don't really want to go the Gutenberg route, use something like Bricks. Just using a decent form plugin, like you can get the best free one for the type of people that we've been discussing, I would say is Fluent Forms. I really think with that, unless you've got specific needs, I don't really think you'd need to go all that bonkers, really. I think a lot of people, they can't control themselves, Derek. Even if either they're a developer or they're a power user. They just can't control themselves. They get into the candy store of WordPress plugins and they go berserk. What do you think?
It's hard for me because as someone who could design and then also develop stuff, oftentimes I found myself just being like, I don't want to pay for yet another plugin for this project. Let me just build, I don't need the 50 features from this that the only paid option offers. I only need the 2 features and I can build that in an hour or so. Let me just build it for this one particular client. I agree that there you can get through a lot of stuff. And that's definitely, in 2025, you definitely can. 3-4 years ago, it was harder. 10 years ago, it was near impossible. Because there are, we're seeing a consolidation in the WordPress space where there's one company like Fluent who is making a suite of 10 different tools that you can all buy under one roof, which has a lot of different positives and things like that. And there's a lot more quality free versions of things.
Yeah, but I think also a lot of the stuff that a lot of extra plugins did, I think a modern page builder does for you in some ways.
But yeah, it does.
What do I know?
And exactly like when it comes to, but it's more of those niche things, like little unique things. And yeah. Like I said, when I was, some of the things was, I think the final tipping straw was, when I had to get the Google Analytics conversion tracking add-on. And the only one that was out there was on Code Canyon for this one. I forgot what the core plugin was. And it was another, thing. And it just was like, well, I don't want to buy anything from Code Canyon. That just always feels a little like you're going into a seedy alley for some reason. And so it's just
the back streets of WordPress.
Yeah. So it was just like the idea that you had to, I had to buy the one plugin for the client to use that, and then buy yet another plugin to do the conversion tracking, and then buy another plugin as another add-on feature for it. It was just, that's kind of more of, what I need. And it was that particular project. It's not every single client project that you build. But it was just an impetus to, how to build, how I would want to build a WordPress plugin is something that isn't just this one little thing that sells for $49 and it does this one little thing, which is an add-on for another thing that someone already had to buy, which is an add-on for this other thing. And, frustrating. So the idea of this many to many, many analytics platforms, many WordPress plugins that that they all can integrate together and not just this one tiny instance. And it can be used on any client site, basically. So you could reuse the same thing. So you spend, a couple $100 and you can reuse it on 30 different client sites, or you have to buy all these different things to use for it individually for every single client site type thing. So yeah, that's kind of the idea behind how I've structured it.
So the name, I love the name, Conversion Bridge, because some of these plugin names, I can't even pronounce them. How hard was it to get the domain? Did you have to spend some money or was you lucky enough to get it? But I do like the name Conversion Bridge.
Yeah, it is. The domain is conversionbridge.wp. So that was pretty easy to get.
Oh, that's how you got it. Yeah.
Yeah. I had the W.
Well, you might get into trouble there, but you never know, do you?
I'm not too concerned about that. No. But I think conversionbridge.com was actually taken, but not being used. But I was starting a new product. I wasn't going to go spend $10,000 on a domain when I haven't even made $10,000 on it yet. I wasn't going to go.
I think, because you've got the WP at the end, it all works, yes, doesn't it? But, the name does kind of in your mind, it is the product, isn't it?
So yeah, and that's there. Yeah, and that's what I wanted, because I wanted to make it clear what the differentiator was between, this isn't just a plugin to add plausible or add basic Google Analytic page view tracking. That's not what it is. What it is about conversion tracking, which is another level of analytics. It's, when does someone submit a form? When do they click a specific button? When do they make a purchase on your site and get all the details about it so that you can track back to what that user did, where did they come from, and all that kind of stuff to give yourself or your clients really quality data. I think there's a lot of, I'm guilty of this myself. So, I set up a site for clients, I add Google Analytics, and then I walk away. And then the client goes, great, I had 100 people who visited my site, but did any of them contact me? Did any of them buy something from my site? Did they sign up for a newsletter? Oh, wait, well, we didn't set up conversion tracking for your site. Well, why didn't we? Well, because it's kind of a pain in the butt to do it, because it required some code snippets and figuring out where it goes, what hooks and filters in WordPress, what, you know, for the, all kinds of stuff of when to make things happen. And so that's what a great differentiator about Conversion Bridge is that it's a couple clicks. And not only have you added the analytics platform to track the page views, which is we should be doing for every client site, but now you can really get some great data about when they're submitting forms on the site, making purchases, sign up for the newsletter, all that kind of stuff with just a couple clicks. There's no more coding. There's no confusion. It's just boom, boom. Now I can not only give my client, here's some great data about, you know, now that we've launched your new site, we can see how much more traffic your site's getting, or you've implemented a new SEO strategy. Not just the amount of traffic, but you can also say, we've now tripled the amount of contact forms or leads that you've gotten through your website, which is the real metric that you want to be giving to your clients as evidence that you are producing value for them. So that's one of the differentiators that I wanted the name to convey, that this is about conversions.
Well, like I say, I'll give you top marks, but because am I correct that you don't offer a free version? So you decided not to use the power of the directory. Was that something you really had to think about? Because it's a two-edged sword, isn't it? You know, so what was the thoughts behind that? And was you decided not to go down that route from day one?
Right. So I do have some other plugins and they do follow the freemium model. So I'm experienced in building stuff and using that model. And there are pros and cons to each one. Quite honestly, there's a couple reasons. Two main ones were, the moment you offer a free version, you can't undo it. So that's
your barriers.
Yeah. Yeah. You're basically stuck. So you there's no control Z for that. Cause then people have certain expectations.
And I've been told that the people, the support tickets, they're the most villain.
I've been lucky with my plugins that I have not experienced that, honestly. A few rare times, but
I think it depends. As I was being
sarcastic. It depends on trust me, I've heard the stories and I've seen them. So
yeah, but I think with something like Conversion Bridge, you really would be opening a can of worms if you offered a free version.
The other challenge was the line. It's often talked about with other product makers is where's the line that you delineate of what's free and what's paid. And I kind of struggled with how to where that line would be to make it worthwhile for for free users to want to use it, but then not give the farm away at the same time. So I just couldn't decide on what that would be. So, you know, Conversion Bridge, I think I'm in a week from now is going to be my 1 year anniversary of launching version one. So, I'm still open to the idea if I could, you know.
Well, the thing
ultimately
is,
you
mentioned the nickel and dime. The other way that a few friends of mine have dealt with it is they offer a free version that has a lot of value, but there's a lot of pinch points, and then you've got to buy add-ons or add-on packs. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that would suit your philosophy that you've outlined so far in this podcast, would it? But maybe you change.
It's one of those things about, you know, running stuff like this. You're constantly running a plugin. You are constantly reevaluating what is and isn't working, whether it's changing prices or your marketing channels that you're focusing on. And it could also very well be the offering itself. When I started Conversion Bridge, I was going to purposely not even include integration with Google Analytics. I wanted it to be for alternative platforms. I mean, I learned within like 3 seconds that that wasn't going to work out. I wanted it to truly be an alternate option to things like Monster Insights or some of the, you know, existing or Google Sitekit even, you know, I wanted,
You already do that, but I
quickly realized when, like, the first five people that asked me questions, all of them asked me about Google Analytics, and I was like, okay. So I was like that. I mean,
yeah, people don't realize you've got to be, because you strike me as somebody that really thinks stuff out. So you make the best choices, and then you got to be prepared to move fast, because you're just making honest assumptions, aren't you?
Yeah.
Based on your experience, but yeah, you know,
and I even say as a product or a plugin owner, even within the several that I have, what works in one doesn't work in another, because it's a totally different market, a different type of user, even though they're still WordPress users. Like, one of mine is called Sunshine Photocart, and it's built specifically for photographers. They are a very unique, specific bunch of people.
That's one way of putting it, by my experience. Even a few, when I was like you, I got totally burnt out. And then I worked for an agency, a major North Nevada agency for a few years, and that was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I worked for myself, and I got totally burnt out. I mean, absolutely burnt out. And so I got to the stage where I couldn't touch a computer for 18 months. I just got a manual job, and I couldn't do it. Right. We've had a great discussion in the first half. We're going to have another little quick break for our sponsors of the show, who are much appreciated. And we will be back in a few moments to terrorize Derek some more with the interrogation. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We had a great discussion with Derek. I think we covered some interesting stuff, got some more interesting questions. But before we delve into the second half, I also want to point out that if you're looking for a great hosting partner, especially around membership and community websites for your clients, why don't you have a look at what WP Tonic has to offer? We've got some great packages for developer freelance partners. You can find more details by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners. And we'd love you to partner with us. No free version. You built this. Who do you so building something and actually getting traction is totally different. Part of your exercise trying to get some traction is agreeing to come on to this podcast, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But I loved the name, and I looked at your background, and I thought, yeah, let's try and support him. What was there planned? You know, first of all, you've mentioned your previous plugins or your ongoing plugins. So how many active other plugins have you got going, actually? Can you give us a quick outline?
Yeah, so I have my Conversion Bridge one, the Sunshine Photo Cart that I mentioned. I have a couple other ones. One's a confetti plugin. So it adds a little confetti effect on the page when you submit a form or do like a purchase on WooCommerce, stuff like that. So it's just totally fun, little silly thing. And then an address autocomplete anything. It makes it easy to add Google's address autocomplete to basically any form on a WordPress website. So that came from trying to solve a problem on a client site. Both the confetti and address autocomplete, they were client requests for something. I was like, well, I can turn that into a plugin. And so, and turn those ones into. I have a couple other.
Free or paid?
Those ones all do have, those are all freemium ones. So there is a free version and then a paid version. Like the confetti, you can just put like the standard confetti effect, you know, using a short code or something like that. The paid one then lets you customize it, where what angle it comes in, how fast it comes in, how long, the colors, and all that kind of stuff. So it can, you know, really make it how you want it to look. And then the address autocomplete, the free one does one form, and then the paid one, you can do any unlimited number of forms or a single site. So those ones have pretty clear lines of that were easy to decide what would be a good free version and what would make a worthwhile paid version.
Right. So you got a little bit of experience in the plugin, but Conversion Bridge is a different animal, isn't it? Now, the amount of time, energy, I have no idea how much time you guys have brought into this. I really don't want to know because I think it might have more of my hair fall out and I'm not even involved in it. So you start building Conversion Bridge. I would imagine, I'm only surmising this, that this is really aimed at the WordPress community, the pro community initially. That's where you're going to get some traction.
Yeah.
But then you've also got the bigger market of the agency market that are using WordPress, but they know nothing about the WordPress community, nor do they want to know anything. So you start getting... So how much energy did you put in working out a marketing strategy and how you were going to start getting some traction?
Zero. The general strategy was, well, I'm going to make this, and then I'm just going to keep posting about it on Twitter.
How many hours have you put into this developing it? Be honest. Oh,
I honestly don't know. I'm terrible at tracking my time. I started it in like a week before Christmas in 2023. And the first version launched in February of 2024. So it took me from initial like, okay, I had the idea for about 6 months beforehand, but I just kind of sat on it, not sure if it was actually a worthwhile one. And then something.
How you developed it? Is it mostly PHP or are you into React and JavaScript?
It's all PHP and some vanilla JavaScript. It's one of those things where it's to get it done. That's what I know. I'm not in the world of React or anything like that yet.
Well,
used to do that. Stitch blocks.
I'm dangerous in JavaScript. I was a JavaScript developer in the days where there were no libraries. That's why I got no hair, Derry. Those Wix books, those red fins, trying to get the DOM to work on different browsers. Jesus.
Yeah.
Love this stuff. So no plan. So what things have been working for you to start getting some traction?
For me, honestly, it's been great being just part of the community and being involved and active in it, at least even if it's just online in the social channels of just posting Twitter. I've encountered some great people and then met them in person. I've gone to my first WordCamp. I think it was 2023 was my first WordCamp, and then went in 2024, US WordCamp.
You were there when the bomb exploded.
I actually did not go to that. I met a friend and who was walking the opposite direction saying, I don't want to go to that. You want to join me for a drink? I'll buy. And I was like, okay.
That was a wild situation, wasn't it?
We actually ended up walking over to the hotel bar and having a drink when all of a sudden the phone started blowing up. While we were having a drink and all of a sudden I was like, what is going on? Oh, dang. Okay.
I bet there was a few people who wanted a drink after listening to that.
There was The looks on people's faces as they were walking back into the hotel after that was something to be seen. It was a
My English humor gets me into a lot of trouble, Derek.
Yeah. So
you seem to be enjoying it, but a lot of Americans don't get it, Derek. They think I'm a prick.
Oh.
Maybe they're right. I don't care. I'm perfect.
Yeah, like what's been working for me is posting a lot about it on social media and getting a lot of people to know about it. And then they refer it or talk about it to their friends, other people. So one of the big things about when I was doing my agency work, I got new clients 100%. Let me rephrase. That's not true. The last 10 years or so, my new clients 100% came from referrals from people I'd work with and them telling them about other people. So I'm big on good quality customer support and keeping people around me happy and informed. And then they tell everyone, and that's a lot less work for me. I find that easier to spend the time doing good quality communication and support and being friendly and kind and what that yields naturally in return.
Oh, I don't believe in any of that. Anyway, that, you know, that might be your mantra, yeah. But there we go. I have been surprised over the years, the amount of clients and people that, you know, I'm slightly bonkers, but I have been surprised the amount of people that I've come to the conclusion that have some form of mental personality disorder I've had to deal with, but maybe that's me. Maybe I attract what you are. There we go. So what have been couple of the most surprising things that come up with your journey with Conversion Bridge so far that you would like to share with the audience?
I think it's just, it's the patience that is required. I think I alluded to it earlier that when you're doing billing sites or doing projects for clients, you say, I'm going to get, you know, $5,000 to produce this. You know what it is, what you need to produce, and you know what you're going to get paid for it before you even start on it. And it's great. When you're building a plugin, I could spend 6 months building something and get $0 in return for it. It's been a surprise at what different mentality that you have to have about trying to run a plugin business than it is running an agency. That you really have to, you know, when I'm doing, for me, I'm a developer first, designer second, and then a marketer way, way down the line third. Yeah, way down the line. So the idea of, you know, okay, I'm going to write these 10 articles about something or do this, you know, connect with a, you know, like one of the things I want to mention also is that's been working fairly well is I do a lot of integrations with other plugins. So reaching out to them to cross promote each other has also been a great one. It's a natural fit. They have an audience of, you know, tens of thousands of users. And I have, you know, I built integration. So if you want to hear that.
And it's threatening as well, isn't it? It's totally, no, there's no.
No, it's.
Because a lot of times, a lot of people can't do that because it's not so black and white. But I can see that working really well for all you.
But yeah, so the surprise is just, you know, like how you can do that partnership. You spend the time working with them, spend a couple hours, whether it's, you know, co-crafting a blog article and an email to go out to their, you know, to their list and all this kind of stuff. And then say, I have no idea if this is going to yield any results whatsoever. So it's just knowing that you have to keep going at it and be persistent and that you may not see anything for a couple years before you really see a true, you know, be able to recoup my time. If you asked me about like how many hours I spent developing and I'd include my marketing and you say, I think about this
all the time. How many hours you put in this?
And I think about it and I go, okay.
This is a cold sweat, actually.
And then I was trying to say, then I think about like the hourly rate and it would probably be like $2 an hour at this point, you know? And I go, well, I could probably go gun on Fiverr and make, you know, 10 times that, 20, 100 times that and do some simple projects and knock it out instead of all the headaches and stress and of not knowing that I'm going to make money or I could just walk in and start grading projects and know that I am going to make money. So the mentality is just how different you have to be prepared for that.
I wouldn't even ask you about your personal finances, but are you keeping just some old clients going, or have you really reduced your book of business to almost zero? We're just zeroing with Conversion Bridge. Maybe you can give us some idea percentage wise how much used, if you are dealing with existing clientele, and how much in percentage terms your day and week is on Conversion Bridge.
I've been working on this transition for probably about 2 years now of getting, moving from clients to being product only. I'd say my time wise right now is probably about 25% clients and 75%. Oh, let me rephrase that. I have to rethink this a little bit. I would say it is more about, it's probably more about 60-70% doing client and stuff. But what I'm filling it in with now is where I don't have my own direct agency clients. Those, for better or worse, I think for the better, have slowly been drifting, and I have not signed like a new agency client in probably a year, year and a half. It's been struggling because I never really did marketing for my agency. It was all referrals. But I've started to focus on my products, there's just been a natural, I don't put as much attention on my clients. So they're not getting as quality attention. And so they're less likely to refer and stuff like that. And just over time, they churn and go off to do other things. Their businesses close or all that kind of stuff. So they have had more time. I've backfilled that right now. I actually am working with a couple other plugin companies as a contractor developer as well to backfill some other income. So my product income is probably about 40% of my total income.
So you're reasonably happy with how conversion?
Ideally, it would be. I mean, of course, we all want it to grow. I want it to be 100% of my income.
Yeah, it just takes much longer than people.
It's only been around a year, and other product owners that I've talked with have basically said, you need to go for at least 2 years, not 3 years, before you start to really evaluate.
I think it's going in the right direction.
I think if it isn't,
but it's really hard. It's
hard to gauge. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how I've been doing it. I still do have some, clients. I one of the things that is, I resold hosting, and so I make a, 15% of my annual sales from clients that I never even...
I was warming to you, Derek, but now I'm going cold now. When you launched, I suppose another thing, this is an old chestnut, but I've got to throw it into the conversation, lifetime deals. Mm-hmm. There's only one thing that warms the heart of WordPress developers, and that's lifetime deals. They're a cold lot. Did you offer some lifetime deals when you initially, and what's your views on it, or did you decide you're not going there?
I do have some lifetime options right now. They're priced accordingly, in my opinion. But there are some on there. They're not, it's not going to be $50 for a lifetime. It's nothing cheap. It's the usual calculation of the average customer lasts this long. You can just prepay for that up front, and then you could have it for 10 years if you wanted. I do offer some lifetime deals, for Conversion Bridge. But I test it regularly to, every once in a while. Sometimes I pull it down to see if that makes an impact on sales. See what's going on, and then put it.
So, what's your opinion about doing specials over Cyber Monday, Thanksgiving, whatever? Because I know some of my that got very large plugin, and the terrifying thing is almost 40% or 50% of their business is done over a month of the year. It must be quite terrifying.
So
what's your views on that?
I mean, I did one this last year. So definitely participated in that whole thing. Did, you know, I would say 80% of the sales that I did over that Black Friday were lifetime deals. Sure. Cause that's when people were really snatching it up. So yeah, I mean, it's a way to do it. I guess I see it as if there are certain customers that will only buy if it's discounted, then I guess I'd rather get their money than not at all.
I think Jack deals with it quite well because he offers special offers, but they don't get lifetime support. They get a couple of years. And then if they want more support, they got to pay for it.
And that's the kicker is, you know, in 10 years from now, am I going to have to keep supporting you even though you only paid me $100? You know, and you've been using this product for 100 years and you send me a support ticket every 6 weeks. Like that's, you know, that's unsustainable for a business to be able to do that. So yeah. And that's, yeah, I think
that's a fair way to look at it in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. I mean, the other side is when you're selling a product, I would say most of the support tickets happen within the first month from most customers as they get onboarding, have some questions. Well,
is that the freelancers? How do you find the freelancers or the small boutique agency? I would imagine most of your people in it, I don't know, that's, I never quantified that with you. How would you see, are most of the people buying, are they freelancers and or boutique or larger agency owners or is it direct people who've got online business?
It is mostly professionals. People are building a site for someone because they're the ones that understand what conversion tracking is in the first place. Trying to tell someone who's making a blog about their, you know, favorite cut about kite flying or something like that. They're just, I mean, they don't necessarily have a need for it, you know? So it is usually people who understand, who are running a marketing campaign for a client, things like that. They understand the need to track those conversions. So that is my main audience that I'm trying to get in front of for Conversion Bridge.
And that's why the lifetime deals are out of a place. Let's go on to AI,
which
I have such mixed feelings. I use a ton of it. It's been really helpful, but I got involved in web design a bit like you, but I'm a lot older than you. I got involved in 97, 98. I started knocking out a few websites and then I got into Flash. Then I got into JavaScript. Then I moved to America and then I got into WordPress. As the time I was working for an agency, that was the first job I had. I always worked for myself before that, and that was an eye-opener. Do you use any AI tools, or do you think it's the spawn of the devil?
No, I definitely use them, and they're incredibly helpful for building faster. You know, I love it as I've been able to build things a lot quicker, a lot faster. With Conversion Bridge, it's not too helpful because AI has no ability to comprehend the code base of the 50 plus plugins that I do integrations for and to how to.
Yeah, if anybody manages that, I think we've got a bigger problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but for example, like I'm building a more detailed integration with the Google Ads API to make it easier to work with Google Ads conversion tracking. It's been fairly helpful with in things because it's a more open API, it's more generic. But I like AI so far. I'm also concerned that I'm not going to have a job in 2 years. But you know,
well, I'm not trying to be funny here, are you concerned because a lot of people listening to this, there's a certain type that I was going to use a term, but I'm not going to use it actually. There's a certain type of developer out there that are listening to this and they're probably thinking, Derek, I can just get the connection. I can just ask AI to knock out an add-on that does the connection. I don't have to buy your product.
Good luck. How dare you? I'd love to see what AI does for you. Good luck with it.
But there is the, I'm not trying to be funny, but the,
no, I understand.
There is the type that are listening to this that are thinking that, aren't they?
Oh, no, absolutely. And I've thought the exact same thing. And I've tried it and it doesn't work so far. Maybe in a year from now, maybe in 2 years from now, it might.
There's been people on public forums on large Zooms that said, I've knocked this ad on. I just used AI and they've put it on people's production websites and they've stated it in a public forum that I've been a part of. Derek, and then yeah. I haven't got the camera on, but I'm just smacking my head on a table. I'm not an active developer, and I just think, where are you living, mate? This is going to bite you on the arse, and it's coming soon. But there we go.
I think the mini utility things, like making a mini plugin that's just a standalone, its own plugin. I think AI can actually do a pretty good job of that. Say you need a plugin that just solves this one particular problem for a client. And I think that is a great way to go about it, to do something like
that. Yeah, there's boundaries.
I totally agree
with you.
My current AI moat, so to speak, for ConversionBridge specifically is how hard it is to connect these different systems to get it to work with WordPress, to get it to work with your analytics platform, to also get it to work with the plugin that you're trying to do, to know when a certain form is submitted or when that happens properly and all this kind of stuff, to actually get it accurate is a challenge, to do it right, and to get all the detailed nuance of various things. So I think there is, there's a bit of a moat because of the complexity. I think AI can definitely create its own standalone little thing. Like here's my example is the other day, this year, one of my goals is to get better at marketing, which, one reason why I'm here on this podcast today. I create a list of like 15 different things. And one of the challenges for me in marketing has always been, there's this list of, things that I've put together. What do I work on next? I don't know what's going to be the best one. I get overwhelmed and I end up doing nothing. So what I did is I was like, I just want something to decide for me. So my idea was, I'm just going to close my eyes and pick something literally on the list, pick something and just do it, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And I was like, it'd be fun. Let's go if we create like a little spinner, just a little tool that goes through all the different things and then goes, spin, 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 pop, here's the one to work on. So I asked AI, can you create a spinner? Here's my 15 different tasks. And it created it for me. It created it in 30 seconds. It was fantastic. So doing something like that is wonderful. People have no development experience who want to create a fun little tool like that. They're learning how awesome and cool it is to learn about how to code something. And I kind of see it like my son and I've been trying to get him into Minecraft coding. And just showing him about when he was just like, wait, I can get it to do what now? When I throw this one little thing, it can blow up 500 blocks wide and do this cool. He's like, eye open. Like, if I just change this one little bit of code, I can have it do that. It's just AI is introducing people to that same thing of what the power of code really is. It's no longer this mystical thing. They can actually see, okay, this is what it is. And when they look at it, because when I learned coding, it was just looking at code and it just kind of made sense to me. And I understood what was going on and what they were doing and why. And so if people are getting to do that, see the code and they go, yeah, it's kind of cool. And I think the idea of, I'm absolutely certain, like on the app store, there's going to be something like, I want a to-do app that does this, but does it in this very specific way that I want it to do it. If we all have, the women in our lives who have their, pen and paper calendars or, how they keep track of their, notebooks and things like that. They're like, well, I want it to look a very specific way or be organized a very specific way. Well, now you can just ask AI to create like an app for your phone that works exactly how you want it to work. Not necessarily how some other app developer has decided your to-do app should work or your note-taking app or things like that. And that's kind of an interesting world that we're coming up to where you could just be like, hey, AI, can you create, this note calendar type app where on these days, this happens and the button is purple. And when I hit this, this happens and have it.
Oh, even more custom, choice.
Custom
even more choice. Choice. Yeah. It makes WordPress look simplistic.
Yeah. So
on to our last question. One of my favorite, and it's my interviewee's favorite because it means that this torture is ending. Time, if you had your own time machine, H.G. Wells, and you could travel back to the beginning of your career, what kind of little snippet of advice would you love to give yourself?
The biggest thing I would say is to find a better balance between personal and work life. I think for me personally, I kind of wake up too often as a solopreneur, working for just myself. And for a long while, I was the sole provider. And so it put a lot of stress and strain on things. And I let that take over my mental health, my time, my mental energy, and all that kind of stuff. And I think in some ways, it definitely spurred me on to get to where I'm at now, to have a level of, comfortable income. I'm not a millionaire or anything, but, living comfortably and stuff. But also, I think I could have balanced that out a lot better and made better time of when, my kids were younger to drop, in the middle of the day to stop what I was doing and just go hang out with them for a while and get those couple hours in to go to the park or do whatever. But I always felt very pressured to continue working. I couldn't let anything slip by. And so I did miss some of those opportunities, even though I worked from home and for myself. I never really took full advantage. And even to this day, it's still a struggle to take full advantage of those freedoms that supposedly are part of this way of working.
I think you put that well, but I think also you've been a bit hard on yourself. You seem very calm.
It's been a 20-year journey. Yeah,
and I'm not that's been deferred because I'm bonkers. I'm totally a nut, and I wasn't. It's been in web development that's done it to me, Derek. Yeah. But lots end up like me, actually. But you seem very calm, so I think you've done a reasonable job, Derek. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and you have to come back later on in the year so we can have another chat. What's the best way for people to find out about Conversion Bridge and maybe your own thoughts? I don't know if you have a regular blog as well, but let's start with Conversion Bridge. What's the best way to find out more about it?
Yeah, you can visit conversionbridgewp.com. That's where you can learn about everything, about the product, of course. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter at Derek Ashour, I'm pretty active on there and constantly talking about what I'm working on, what my challenges are, where I'm going, why. It's, kind of doing the build in public thing. And so keep up on my journey. Sometimes it's random things about soccer and other things, my hobbies and things like
that. You're into soccer. I'm warming to you again.
There you go. I've been playing soccer since I was six, and I actually have a game tonight. So
the beautiful game. There we go. There we are. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Kirk was not able to join me. He's traveling. He's at a conference, a speaker at a PAL sport conference. But hopefully you will be back next week. We've got some great guests like Derek. I'm amazed at the quality of people that agreed to come on the show. It's been a pleasure this episode. Hopefully we're giving you some great insights about building a great plugin business. WordPress, we will be back next week, my beloved tribe. See you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.